Omagana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Adhati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Siddha Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purjana Sayam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vasakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishuvana Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Thrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Padidana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga, text number 32. Na,
na
etat
vigaya
jignaso gyatavyam avishishate Tidva Piyusham Amritam Katavyam Na Avishishate Naita Vigyaya Jignasur Katavyam Avishishate Tidva Piyusham Amritam Patavyam navashishate na not ekat this vigyaya
fully understanding
jignaso of the inquisitive person gyatavyam matter to be understood. Avashishate remains. Pitva, having drunk. Piyusham, palatable. Amritam, nectarian beverage. Patavyam, to be drunk. Na, nothing. Avashishate remains. Translation by Prabhupada's disciples. No purport. When an inquisitive person comes to understand this knowledge, he has nothing further to know. After all, one who is drunk the most palatable nectar cannot remain thirsty. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paska Jyade Satarane. What time is prasadam usually? What time? 9 o'clock? What time is usually class?
8:30.
Okay. So this Shruti Kirti crew and myself will give class. So divide it up exactly. Alright. So it's nice being back here in Melbourne, seeing that there are still devotees here. In other parts of Australia, they're becoming extinct, or at least rare to find a devotee sometimes, especially in class. Prasadam. They seem to thrive more on prasadam than during. So here it mentions that if one is inquisitive, because we're supposed to become inquisitive, jignasu, shreya uttama, not inquisitive about where is the money, where is the honey, but where is their pure devotional love for Krishna. And this is a question that Pariksha Maharaj, he was asking. He was about to leave his body very shortly, and he asked, what is the duty of a person who is about to leave his body? But of course we don't have to worry about that because we're in Oz and there's no need to worry. Because we're all going to live forever here. But Shukadeva Goswami acknowledged the question, what is the duty of a person who's about to die, by saying, Varyan Esha Te Prashna Krito Loki Tabripaha Atmavat Samatam Pumsam Shoti Yadishu Yakaraha. That this inquisitive type of, well, this type of knowledge about what are the duties of a person who's about to die is very good to ask that. Because it's equally true for everyone. The material nature, as they say in America, is an equal opportunity employer. Everyone has the opportunity to go through the same experience. That's the one thing, one of the things that we can say that is true for everyone. Everyone's going to leave their body very shortly. And in the meantime, we can predict that everyone's going to get older. And we're all feeling some disease from distress, from lack of comfort, lack of ease. And we're going to have to get another body, either spiritual or material. So that's true for everyone. So therefore, these topics, everyone in Melbourne should come and hear them. Unfortunately, no one is so much inquisitive about this subject, because Shukadeva Goswami said, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashatam Atmatadvam Griheshu Grihamedina. Generally, people are concerned about their griha. Griha means house. And the first house, according to Maharaj Prahlad, is Matirana Krishne Parataksatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Ratanam. That is, the first house we live in is the body. So everyone, in illusion, misidentifies themselves with the body, and their first question they ask is, how's your body? It's like sometimes people ask me, how are you? And my usual response is, well, at least to the devotees, not to regular people, but, you know, first I have to find out who I am, then I'll find out how I am. Right now I'm probably not doing so good, because under the influence of the illusory energy, who can say they're doing well? Oh, I'm doing great. Really? What mode of nature are you in? It's like going to a prison and saying, a prisoner in a jail, he's being beaten every day, being tortured. How are you doing? Oh, pretty good. So obviously you don't ask a question like that to someone who's crazy, because they have no idea how they're doing. Or even if they think they're doing well, you know actually how they're doing. So why bother asking the question? I think Prabhupada, when he was 1977, people would come and ask him all the time, how are you? Prabhupada was just about to leave his body and they're asking, how are you? On what level? On material level, he's about to leave his body. So why ask such a foolish question? On the other side, if one is actually in spiritual consciousness, he's always doing actually well. So if one is not in spiritual consciousness, whatever he's doing is bad for him, practically speaking. And if one is in spiritual devotional service, and whatever he's doing, whatever his material circumstances may be, he's doing quite well. So the real question is that how's your devotional service coming along? How are you chanting around? How's your japa? More than how are you doing? Right? If it's pertaining to the body, then it's a question, how's your body doing? Well, it's a little worse than yesterday, or it's a little better than yesterday, but after all, it's not very good. And if it's spiritually, that I was remembering Krishna while I was chanting japa, I was actually realizing that Krishna and his name are not different. I was feeling Krishna's presence. Well, I think the soul is doing a lot better than he did yesterday. So one has to be inquisitive. But unfortunately, people are inquisitive. Hundreds and thousands of questions, as Shruti Kirti Prabhu was saying yesterday. Even the birds are chirping all day long. But what are they asking? Where's the worm? Where's the worm? And people are going to the market and they're buying newspapers and essentially they're asking the same question. How's the stock market? Are they stocking up worms? Is there enough worms to go around for everyone today? Of course, worms are rather expensive, so usually they talk about other kinds of foods. Worms are probably delicacies, but. So people are asking, where is their worm? Where is their place to sleep? Is there any sex life for me today? What about, can I defend myself? How's my bank balance do? So eating, sleeping, mating, defending, griha. So the first thing is all about this body. And then we can expand it, become generous. I have enough worms for myself. I can't eat all the worms. Would you like a few worms yourself? So then we get a family. And then we get a society and a country. So we can go on expanding and expanding it. But Mithurna Krishne Paratatsatova. We don't think that my real problem is I've forgotten about Krishna. We think my real problem is I haven't become Krishna. That all my plans to become the center of this existence, whatever my dream world is, where I'm the hero or the heroine in that drama that's going on called material existence, where I'm struggling not only to survive but to become important and great, and ultimately my name, fame, quality, and pastimes can live forever. Even after I leave this body, they'll have some life of their own. So we're inquiring how to make my life, material existence, more enjoyable and less stressful. How to put myself in the center of someone's existence, if not everyone's existence. So the people are always thinking about me, becoming my devotee, worshipping me, and surrendering to me. And the result is that wherever I go, they'll come to me without fail. Maya promises us this because she's our very dear friend. So this type of inquisitiveness is not very beneficial. Everyone has that inquisitiveness. But Ashraya Uttama, the ultimate goal of life. So what is the ultimate goal of life? How do we know it's the ultimate goal? Because Kitavyam Avashishate. Krishna says, Maya Saktamanakparta, Yogam Yunjam Anashraya, Asamshayam Samagramam, Itagyasasi Tatshinu. Now here from Yosana Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. And then he says, Gyanam teham savi gyanam idam vaksham av asheshataha ejgyatva neha bunyon yaj gittavyam avashishate again. Now I'll explain to you both the nominal, and the material, the spiritual and the material, knowing which there will be nothing further to be known. Same, exactly the same thing here. If we get to know reality, then there's nothing more to be known. When we're an illusion, then there's plenty of things to know. And what is the aim of knowing reality? The aim of knowing reality is so that we become eternal. Wouldn't it be nice to be eternal, where you didn't have to worry about what's going to happen to us next moment? And not only eternal, but knowledge makes us eternally blissful, pleasureful, that every moment is just like drinking nectar. Nigama kalpatura galitam palam sukamukam dravis samyutam pibata bhagavatam amalam mohura mohura rasika rasarasika bhavikaha. So here, pitva payusha, just like drinking nectar at every moment. We all like to drink nectar. So if we could do it at every moment and not get fat and indigestion, that would be very nice. So that's possible if we become aware of how to drink nectar with our spiritual senses. So that's knowledge. That's real knowledge. So to be inquisitive, how to become eternal, how to become eternally blissful, that's real knowledge. And to be inquisitive about that knowledge, that's proper inquisitiveness. That's the way of directing our inquisitiveness on being inquisitive in the right direction. So Krishna says, he recommends to fix our mind. Obviously, everyone is trying to fix their mind on something which is blissful, some goal. Generally, just like, for instance, people criticize a Hare Krishna's because they're trying to fix their mind upon God rather than something important. They don't mind, just like they have the Australian Open, and in every airport you go, probably any many places you go, you watch people playing tennis. I was the captain of my tennis team in college, in high school actually. And I didn't realize what a boring sport it actually is. But passing through the airports, I'm wondering why people bother watching this thing. They hit the ball. They're so expert that either they, you know, hit it once, maybe someone hits it back, and then the whole thing's finished. It's like there's hardly anything going on. There's people bouncing balls and, you know, people retrieving the balls and hitting it for a few seconds, and then most of it is nothing. It's just nothing's going on. Just watching two or four people in complete anxiety whether they're going to get their goal in life. And the goal in life is usually so they can make the money. They couldn't care less about anything, but they just want to get the prize, that's all. So they can eat. So they made a sport where you hit a ball back and forth across the net, and the people who can do it the best, they can eat the best. And they'll have a place to sleep that night. And the people who can't do it, who can't hit that little ball across the net, they may have to sleep on the beach or something. And everyone else is watching, you know. Is he going to eat? Is he going to sleep? At least, you know, in the Romans they had some gladiators. They were, you know, is he going to live? A little bit more exciting. So, people are inquisitive about these things. They're inquisitive about what? How to fix my mind on something. Yeah, generally so I can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And they think it's glorious. This person's working so hard fixing his mind on this activity so he can eat. Or he takes a stick and a little ball and he spends his whole life meditating how to hit that little ball with a stick so it goes into that little hole. And he becomes glorious. His name is all over all the newspapers. They're writing biographies about him. Even his children are being interviewed, his wives are being interviewed, everything is, you know, he's like, because he's reached the perfection of life, he can take a stick and hit a little ball and hit into the hole better than anyone else can. So obviously he's reached perfection of life practically. And if someone tries to reach perfection of life by focusing their attention upon God, then he's a parasite in society, doing nothing useful. Get a job. Get a life. Because Natevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu, they have no idea what the goal of life is, that it's to attain Vishnu. They don't believe that there's a God, or if there is a God, that God is the reservoir of everything, of all pleasure, all awareness, everything. Because it doesn't fit into our scenario that we came to the material world for. It doesn't fit into our game plan to become God. It would be unfair and undemocratic that someone was, by his nature, God. That no one elected him, no one can get him out of his position. It's undemocratic. So therefore, we create some God, if someone needs a crutch called God, we create a God who's hardly God at all. He's pitiable. We worship the primeval Lord because, you know, he has no eyes. He has no face. He has no nothing. He has no head. He has nothing. But we worship him because we feel sorry for him. The force. And if you want to make him into a person, make him into an old person who can hardly do anything because he's become so senile, he can't even keep track of what's going on anymore. Therefore, the whole world's going, you know, a mess. But to create a God who is a coward boy who's ever youthful, why should he be ever useful? We can't be ever useful. Why should he? Therefore, when we describe God, he's ever youthful, he's a reservoir of all pleasure, he's surrounded by loving, you know, associates. They try to find some fault. You know, what kind of crazy philosophy you have, a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, what does he do all day? He herds cows. And he doesn't even eat them. What kind of intelligence does he have? And he gets together with his friends and he's a vegetarian, right? He herds cows and he's a vegetarian. And he drinks milk. We've discovered that milk is bad for you and he's drinking it forever. What kind of intelligence does he have? And then, what does he do? When he comes to this earth, and he has his pastimes, he winds up killing everyone. This is the person you're worshiping. Someone comes to give him some milk, he kills her too. From the beginning. And then he winds up, after killing the animals in the forest, he's a vegetarian, but he just keeps on killing everything. He won't kill the cow. Sometimes he even killed a cow, a bull. But he didn't eat it. He kills things, but he doesn't like to eat them. And then as soon as he grows up enough, he gets a bang group of thieves and they go over and steal from everyone. And as soon as he's almost... Then he winds up chasing after all the young girls. And as soon as they become serious, he flees. And goes somewhere else and starts killing people there. And it gets so bad he has to run out into the ocean to get away from everyone. And then he goes out kidnapping ladies. And that's your God. That's who you're hearing about all the time. That's who you're trying to focus your mind upon. And you say by hearing these pastimes of a person who basically spends his whole life stealing and robbing and killing and running after ladies, it purifies your mind by hearing about it. What kind of people are these? So they cannot accept, actually, when Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo, that I am the source of everything material and spiritual, everything's flowing from me. So whether it's coming from Krishna or not, that's really not so relevant. The fact is, our first business is not to present that everything's coming from Krishna. Our first business is to present that actually you're not your body. That all your endeavor to become happy in this material world is going to be a failure. That you're not your body. Then if people can understand that, then actually everything is not going on by accident. It's not by accident, you're an illusion. Not only your illusion of identifying yourself with the body, but you don't even know what's going on in this universe, that there is a controller behind it. And it's not you, and it's not me, and it's not the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Australia. It's none of us. There's a person with intelligence, and everything is being controlled by him. So if people can understand those things, then the idea is we give a path how to get out of illusion and how to live in harmony in such a way with that controller, with his directions, that we're not controlled by the illusory energy anymore. Then the question is, what is the ultimate goal of life? Not only to get out of illusion, but that ultimate controller is actually the most attractive person. What his pastimes are, what makes him attractive, that's a different thing. But he's the most attractive person. Then if they can understand those things, then they can understand something about what Krishna's activities are, both in this material world and the spiritual world. And if they can't understand those things, then they'll never understand Krishna's pastimes. They'll never understand even the pastimes of Krishna in this world when he comes. What to speak of his pastimes with the illusory energy, with the material energy. So we have to make people inquisitive. First of all, generally speaking, it's good to tell people how bad things are and how they're going to get worse. Unless we can break that illusion, then people are always, they're being conditioned by the modern propaganda that things are actually getting better. That things will get better, just hang around in the material world for another time immemorial from now, and things will get a lot better. Or just stay, and by our technology we'll invent so many things and things will actually improve. So we have to convince people that, first of all, we have to remind them the ultimate improvement is only to get out of this material concept of life. Because your body is, no matter how many cars, how well the economy is going, how honest the politicians are, it doesn't really matter. Because your body's going to grow older anyhow. Your body's going to become diseased, and you're going to have to leave your body no matter what else is going on in the material world. And you're going to have to get the results. Some of the presidents of the United States or prime minister here or there, no matter how bad they are or how good they are, they're going to have to get their results. And how bad you are, how good you are, you're going to have to get your own personal results. It's not that I was born in Australia and the Prime Minister is wonderful, so it doesn't really matter what I do because he's going to die for my sins. He's accepted the reactions of all my sins. No, no one's going to accept the reactions. The only person who can accept the reactions for our activities is Krishna. And his representatives can tell us how to work in such a way as that Krishna can help us. No one else can really help us in this world. Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nashinha nartasya jagadam udvatanvato majital no. The parents may try and help the child, but he may still die. The medicine and the doctor may try and help the diseased patient, but still he may die. And the boat on the water may be very strong, but still it may sink. Only if Krishna wills that this person is going to live for some time, that the boat or the parents or the medicine will protect them. Only by Krishna's desire is it possible to survive in this world. And only by Krishna's blessings can we actually get out of our material concept of life by following his instructions coming through his representatives. Otherwise, and in that way we should understand that we're not really, we don't have to worry about anything else. We just have to worry, first of all, what we're doing. And then if we find out what we're supposed to do, and we surrender, then Krishna will tell us how to work in such a way as to help others while we're helping ourselves. How to help others without attachment. So no matter what they're doing, whether they follow Krishna's direction, because it's never our directions, it's Krishna's directions. If we see they're following Krishna's directions, then we learn from them how to become a better servant to Krishna. And if they don't, we find out from them what happens when you don't become a good servant of Krishna. All the problems you have to go through. And this way, everyone becomes our guru. No one becomes our servant. We become everyone's servant. And everyone becomes our guru by teaching us how to serve Krishna or what happens when you don't serve Krishna. So, can you say a few words?
Yep.
Supposed to be anxious to preach.